This is Weekend Breakfast.
So Australian politics is embarrassing.
Oh, God. All week. There was nothing going on apart from them just a whole heap of men in grey suits trying to figure out who was the best.
Backwards and forwards. It's the power game. Anyway, we do have a new Prime Minister sworn in, Scott Morrison.
I, Scott John Morrison, do swear that I will well and truly serve the people of Australia in the office of Prime Minister, and that I will be faithful and bear true allegiance to Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, Queen of Australia, so help me God.
Oh, well done, Scotty. Well done. You read from a piece of paper. No one cares. You don't have to do what the Queen says. Just do things. Just do something.
Just do something.
Let's
Stop
go.
Fighting.
Come on, Scotty.
Stop spilling and do your friggin' job. It's so embarrassing. This happens so often. The Australian government is unstable as hell. So I thought you and I would do some things that are more stable than the Australian government.
Oh, I like that. All right, what do you got?
Lindsay Lohan's career.
Well done. Things that are more unstable than the Australian government. A 93-year-old arthritis sufferer on a unicycle.
Hey! Something that is more stable than the Australian government, Roseanne Barr.
Ooh, nice one. I don't mind that.
Yeah, she is quite unstable.
I thought the bitch was wise! Damn it!
Stable.
House of Cards at a 21st birthday party.
Oi! I thought you meant actual House of Cards. I was like, seriously, the House of Cards was playing on the news every single day this week. 2014 Miley Cyrus.
Gina Reinhart sitting on a chair with two legs.
Oh, come on. Something that is more stable than the Australian government, Cass from The Bachelor.
Hey! This is Weekend Breakfast.
Look, Nicki Minaj, she wasn't happy this week. Very salty. Yeah. Very awesome. Salty with her second place. And you see her tweet?
Yeah.
I put my blood, sweat and tears into writing a dope album only for Travis Scott to have a Kylie Jenner post at a tour pass telling people to come see her and Stormy. She's blaming Billboard album sales. And, of course, you know, they tally all the sales each week. She was going for number one on the Billboard charts. Travis Scott has beat her. And she's essentially pushed blame onto poor little Stormy. Poor medium Kylie. And poor Big Trav.
Yeah, but why'd you call her medium?
It just seemed like the middle ground.
She's an icon. She's a billionaire at like 21 or something crazy. But it's only because Kylie has such a big social following. That's why.
And, I mean, you'd be a little salty about it because Travis Scott is obviously not doing it on his own accord, maybe. It's a miseven playing field.
Yeah.
And, I mean, as good as Nicki Minaj is, every now and then, even the greats come second.
Mate.
And it can torture you for years. Mm-hmm. She won't bounce back from this.
Yes, she will.
No, sodium level's too high. Too salty.
She's done.
I, 11 years ago.
Oh, God. Yes.
Came second in the Western Australian Spelling Bee.
Oh, my God. Are you a speller? Are you one of those people who do spelling bees?
Could have been. If I'd come first, maybe. Could have been a professional speller by now. When I got to go to Sydney.
That's not a thing.
Yeah, it is.
A professional speller.
Yep. Oxford are looking for professional spellers right now.
BS.
Could have been.
But are you serious?
Prerequisites, unfortunately, must have came first place in the West Australian Spelling Bee. That's the thing. I was robbed.
What word did you lose on?
I get this. I lost 2 years in a row to the same person.
Oh, no.
He was called Stacey. He had a stud in his ear.
Oh.
He was a chunky old boy. I didn't like him one bit. And the reason is because on the second year, it was, you know, hours upon hours of spelling bees, eliminations, people getting knocked down, all the parents looking, a big culmination of 3 months of memorizing words. And the first year I lost to him to the word loquacious. I couldn't spell loquacious.
That's a full-on word.
Yeah. And the second year I lost, I couldn't spell carillion. You'd think there's an I, it goes I-O-N at the end, but it's just spelled Carillon, but it said Carillion. So that's where it tripped me up. And then halfway through, as I say the I, he from side of stage starts celebrating before I'm That's a spell bee, no.
That's mean. Wait, how old were you when you were doing these bees?
This was grade 9 and 10.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. So you were like 15, 16. Mm-hmm. You have a girlfriend?
No, not at all.
No, I wouldn't have
thought
so.
No.
Nah, spelling's cool, but.
Look, 13.
Says me, highly dyslexic, can't spell a thing.
13, 10, 60. Are there people out there that are still very salty with a second placing from many years ago? Because it, as silly as it sounds, my life could have gone on a tangent.
Super bitter.
Very, very, very.
Like, I'm trying to have a joke, but you're like not having a bar of it.
This is not the time, Tanya.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I'm not reading the room.
Very therapeutic, though, to get it off your chest. Mm-hmm. Nicki Minaj is very salty this week. I've been salty for many years now.
Yeah.
Were you robbed of your first placing? Should it have been you?
Yes. Doesn't have to be sport. Could be anything.
Oh, no. Yeah. No, sport, spelling, fashion.
Mm-hmm. Cooking. You know when people enter cooking things, like regional shows and stuff? God, I live for those.
Second place is usually the worst place to finish because you're so close.
You know, right. It's almost annoying.
Yeah, just first in a long line and list of losers.
They say you're the first to lose. Yeah. Sorry to rub that in. I'm sorry.
Very salty. I'm getting even more salty.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Salty second placings. Mm-hmm. It may be the worst place to finish in a field, whether it's sporting, academia, anything in between, Australian Idol. It's the person that has come so close yet so far have to grit their teeth, be gracious in defeat, and then, if you're anything like me, go back into the car as a grade 9 boy crying and sobbing whilst mum drives you home from the spelling bee. No
second
way to conduct
place
your life.
Twice.
The winner
well.
Got to go to Sydney from Perth. I hadn't been on a plane in years. You got paid. It was the Oz Spell Championships. You got $100 for every word you spelled correct. It was a
Did
big
you get a
thing.
Sash?
I didn't get anything. Uh-huh. Just a little photo of me in the paper, the top three. Yeah, smile.
We should recreate this and see if we can't get you first place next week on the show.
If anyone knows the boy called Stacey.
From Perth.
From Perth, Woodvale or Woodlands or something like that.
Okay.
And he had a stud in his ear.
Wow.
Yeah, get in contact. I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but I'd love to. I could beat him. I've been
this
training for 11 years now.
11 years ago and you still remember his name, where he lived, the fact that he had a stud. But no, seriously, if you know this Stacey guy, please
stud in his ear.
Get in contact.
Buck teeth.
We'll recreate this spelling bee and see if we can't get you a win.
That'd be nice. Sally in Victoria on 131060. You can hear the saltiness right through the telecommunication lines. You must be seething still from a second placing.
Yes, I'm still salty because I went in fashions on the field.
Oh, yep.
And I got second. Mm. And the judge told me later that night it was because I was wearing thongs and I wasn't wearing thongs.
Oh, dearie me.
Wait, what fashions of the field were thongs even in the running to be a second place?
That's what I said. And I was wearing, like, shoes that go around your ankle and, like, strap up.
Wow.
Wait, seriously, where was this?
Mansfield.
I don't know where that is.
Small field of fashion on the field. I mean, or unless you looked gorgeous from the ankles up. That's saying something.
True. That's so weird. I would be salty too because sometimes there's good cash money on a fashion's the field. What did you miss out on losing, Sally?
$100 voucher.
Yeah. Ah!
Front page of the paper, dare I say.
So true.
Yeah, it was.
Could have changed everything for you. That's the thing.
I know.
Well, don't tell her that.
No.
What a way to wake up on a Saturday.
Just two people reminiscing on what could have been these days. Thanks, Sally. Mel in Sydney on 131060. What are you salty at coming second at?
Oh, my God. Guys, let me tell you, I'm still bitter. We had these talent quests at school. We had multicultural days. We had everything, and it was set up as beautiful. And it was all these people, and I'd get up, and I'd go and sing. And I would always lose to this gorgeous hunk who never, ever, ever prepared and just walk on stage with a little guitar, strum a few notes and sing a couple of notes and all the girls just screamed and I had no chance.
What were you presenting, Mel? Like, so who was singing with the guitar? What were you doing?
Mate, I was doing all kinds of things. I was out there singing Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive. I was trying to interact with my audience.
I might even win. Woman, have you been on a talent show? Have you done like your Australian...
No. I've scarred for life.
Can I tell you?
I ran into my high school teacher the other day. I'm like, mate, I'm still salty. What are you doing? And he goes, no, well, you know, it's just the nature of the game. No, it's not. No.
I love the way this was so long ago and you're still having a go at the teacher.
Yeah. Full assault.
It's not okay. Not right.
No, it's not.
I demand a recount, whatever it is. I just want to win.
I wish we had a prize to give you, girl. I got a Coles Mini.
Coles Mini, small yogurt for you.
You want a small plastic yogurt? It's yours.
Send me on.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Right around the country, this is Weekend Breakfast. You got Tanya Hennessy and Danny Lakey.
Oh, God, The Bachelor's good this year.
Very good.
It's so good. Although I will say, you know, Cass, the one who knew Nick before the show, is coming off pretty crazy.
Very crazy. Very
She's
stalkerish.
She's not getting a good edit.
No.
This is her reading from her dream journal to him.
And there was a moment of realization for me that love at first sight could be true. From then, every time I see you, I get butterflies and I couldn't be more happy that you're the Bachelor. And I'm really excited to see where this journey goes, and that's all I've written.
Kissing around?
You can turn around.
Oh, I just feel sorry for her because I just don't know if it's going to end well for her.
Oh, I know. It's not going to end well.
No.
I will put my life savings that she's not going to win this thing. She's crazy.
But in saying that, I don't mind the idea of a dream journal because apparently in the dream journal that also has, you know, some of her writing in it, she also writes things that she wants and looks for in the world. And she wrote The Honey Badger.
I know. Like, yeah, that's the scary thing about it. Part
now
of
it's
the vision board.
True. The vision board dream journal is coming true.
She's messed with fate, though, because I tell you how to not get the man of your dreams who's on your vision board or dream journal. Telling the man of your dreams he's in your vision board or dream journal.
She's messed
with fate now. If she kept quiet, she would have won.
But I think she's seen it as a sign. She's like, are you kidding me? I'm on this show. Oh, my. And that's why I think she's acting borderline irrational slash incredibly irrational.
I'd love to know how much history they did have behind the scenes, whether they were dating, whether they'd made love, whether he just met her down the beach and she asked him to autograph her left boob.
I reckon they've had a sexy time, for sure. Yes, but I'm actually into this whole idea of writing down your dreams. I don't do a journal. I just write it what I want to do on an A4 piece of paper and then stick it on my wall.
Nice. So you manifest things.
I'm a manifester. I hate myself, but I am. And I just write down what I want. So literally last year I wrote down, I want to do a national radio show and I want to write a book.
That's great. And I mean, it was a little creepy. You had a photo of me on your vision board as well.
Well, you're a nice looking man. You know, it's nice to have a long-haired boy in your room. And that's all I do. Just put it on my bedroom wall and I see it every day. And obviously I work towards it. And my boyfriend was saying that, you know, this is last year. He's like, oh, you know, I've got no motivation at the moment. I'm not feeling it. And I was like, do I have an idea for you? Cool. Just write down what you want and stick it on the wall. Just A4 piece of paper, get a Sharpie, write it down, and then it'll manifest. You know, he wants to own a cafe.
Cool.
He wants to, you know, write. And I was like, this will work for you. Work for me. Mm. Work for Cass. Get around it.
Mm.
And so he goes, all right. So I go downstairs. He calls me up and goes, I've finished. And I said, all right. Walked up the stairs. There's one word on the vision board. The word was threesome. It's on the board now.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Do you not find that the last week your newsfeed has either been Bachelor, obviously the government spill, and Book Week?
I've taken a detour around Book Week. I'm not friends with anyone who's got kids and all of that. So you'll have to go very slow for me here because I don't know much about Book Week. Just one vague memory of grade five.
Me too. Week, so I don't like, because all my friends are mums. So I believe it's just a week where people celebrate literature and dress as their favourite book character.
Well,
character
I know
that's in a book.
The kids go nuts for it. It's one of the classic weeks of the school calendar.
It's funny that it's still going.
Mm.
You know, I still remember it. Do you? Look, yeah.
I remember it, yeah.
I loved it because it was like a fun day where you'd be out of uniform and, that's, you know, people that had face paint on and fun hair.
I really wanted to go as Hey Arnold.
Oh, yeah.
Really wanted to. Yeah, I wanted to get like my hair all dyed blonde and that tiny little hat and like have the little tartan skirt thing and the cardigan and everything. And it was too much for Mum. She was like, well, you can't do that. That's a big operation to dye your hair and we've got to go find tartan and all this kind of stuff.
She's got other kids.
That's the thing.
She's
she was busy.
Working.
She was busy mum, yeah. Mm-hmm. Busy mum tried to cut a deal with me saying, what about you go as the Mr. Saucepan Man from the Magic Faraway Tree? I said, I don't want that. I want Hey Arnold. She's like, Mr. Saucepan Man, come on. No one else is going as Mr. Saucepan Man.
She's there with the saucepan going, for the love of God, say yes.
She only wanted me to do it. She couldn't care less about Mr. Saucepan Man. She just saw saucepans and thought, easy.
I can do this.
Easy dress
and
up for the kid.
Fair enough. Mm. I get that. Life is tough. And the last thing you need is some bloody dress up day. So, yes, Saucepan Man it is.
I was I had elbow joints attached to pans. I had one stuck on my head. I was rattling around. I was the noisiest boy at Book Week.
Can I one up you with my mother's laziness? I used to love this book and it was, I can't actually remember the name of it, but it was a book about two frogs who lived in a polluted swamp. And, it was about the fact that you shouldn't pollute.
Right.
You know, that was like the message of the book. But in the book, there was also mermaids and fish. And I was like, Mom, I want to be fish. And she's like, no, you know what you should go as? The trash. The trash in the polluted swamp. So she literally put a garbage bag on me and stapled trash to me. And I went as trash, literally as trash as in year five. And I was quite noisy also because I was covered in a goddamn garbage bag.
The mothers have clearly just dressed up their child to suit their own agenda and not
and
really thought about
enough,
the children's wishes.
I want to be a mermaid. How about trash? And I've gone, yeah, whatever, mate. 131060, if any parents can relate to this, Either what was the laziest bookwork costume you saw or what was the laziest bookwork costume you created? Okay. Let's celebrate this because it's quite funny.
Mm. Are we saying that the parents are maybe sort of dressing up the kids and trying to swear the kids into a different direction? Like, you know what's going to be really good?
Harry Potter. What about a dog?
Yeah. What about this dog costume we've had in the cupboard for
yes.
a while?
Oh, yeah. You got a red and white striped top. Oh, you know what you could be? Where's Wally? Who's that? Nah, do that.
Yeah. People taking, no one's taking time out of the day to go to the costume stop.
It's hard. It's hard to make a costume. You've got a lot going on. So we are with you.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
I'm so sorry. I was just pulling my undies out from my jeans.
Never apologise for that. Never apologise. Let's not start until your undies are in perfect place.
And now they are. Thank you so much. We are talking about Book Week. The week that was. Mm. I love seeing people's costumes on my Facebook feed. Love it. And some people are so creative and they're amazing and it looks like they've taken months or paid someone to do it.
It's a big parade, isn't it? All the grades go through and showing off the costumes.
You dress as a book character, which I think is cool because, I mean, no one's reading much anymore. So I think this is a really good thing to make sure people read. But let's not celebrate the opulent, amazing ones. No. That ain't 1060. What's the laziest costume you've thrown together?
Yeah, where's the fun in that? I mean, Tanya just said before she went as the garbage from Lester and Clyde.
Yeah, Lester and Clyde was a story about two frogs who lived in this polluted lake, and I went as the pollution in the lake.
I think if you remember correctly, the lake, its surface was covered with greasy black oil. The decayed vegetation made Lester recoil.
Yeah, Lester was the frog. But then when the lake was cleaned up, there was fish and mermaids, which is what I wanted to be. But Mum was like, nah, you know what's better? Trash.
That's good fun.
Yeah, she just got a garbage bag, cut the neck out of it and stapled a twisties pack on.
Unfortunately, didn't get in the top three in the best dress competition in grade five.
Nah.
Katrina, on 131060, have you sort of taken matters into your own hands? If your kids try to go one way, some adventurous Peppa Pig costume, you're like, nah, I think our pots and pans man is more up your street.
Oh, I definitely have. I've been crook this week and it's kind of crept up on us
always.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
And my daughter was like, let's do this, let's do that. And I went, no. I said, you can go as Hannah from Neighbours.
Wait.
Even though it's not a book. She went, oh, Hannah from Neighbours. I said, yeah. She said, what am I going to wear? I said, just put your own clothes on and there you go, Hannah for the day.
Oh, great.
I love you. So much, Katrina. I mean, go as someone from Neighbours. You need some sort of medal. That's made my day.
It's the last grasp effort, isn't it, when you're making very
loose.
That was
your own uniform.
What a big bow to draw back. Neighbours? I think they may have made a book.
What did she say at school when people asked her what character she was?
Oh, she just said, I'm Hannah from Neighbours.
They went, I reckon you missed the assignment. Nah, you're a queen. That's hilarious. Thanks,
well done,
girl.
Katrina. Prue in Victoria on 131060. Can your kid dress it up as something that was maybe a little more easy for you?
So on Tuesday night, we didn't know what to do. And then I said, how about I wrap you in toilet paper and you go as a mummy?
Perfect. Cost you nothing, basically. Wrap her up. Bye.
Because the mummy, the main mummy story is based on a movie, isn't it, as well?
No.
There was a book from Goosebumps.
Oh, okay.
Remember Goosebumps? Yeah. P.S. girl, like there's a mummy in everything. You know, you just Google mummy book, that's fine.
Yeah.
What toilet paper are you talking, Kleenex Cottonelle or the good stuff?
Oh, yeah, definitely two ply.
Yeah. Well,
not three.
This is Weekend Breakfast.
Not everyone knows everything about Australian politics. Definitely not these two plums in front of the microphones.
No
idea. Already
I
tried a couple of times.
Failed miserably.
Ended up just saying offensive comments. Jamila Rivesey from Future Women is here to explain the leadership spill for the dummies, a.k.a. Tanya and I. Hello, Jamila.
Hey, how you going, guys? What a day.
Well, we're confused, girl. I don't get it. What the hell?
Love, I've been around politics since I was 17. I'm confused. Mm-hmm. No one knows what's going on anymore.
I know. I feel like these spills are happening so frequently. How are they even getting anything done? Or is that an ignorant thing for me to say?
No, not at all. Look, I think we've definitely shafted both cricket and football as our national sport. We now just do leadership spills. That's what we're specialists at here in Australia. But, you know, you make a fair point, right? I saw a great infographic just yesterday that showed how long prime ministers were serving for before we got to the last decade. Mm-hmm. And this is our sixth prime minister. in 10 years.
That's too many.
That is remarkable. And it's the sort of instability that we haven't seen in Australian politics since we were first federated. So we're talking when we first became a nation with a constitution back in 1901. That was when we were churning through leaders like this. It was fair enough that things were a bit unstable then, but we should have got it together by now.
Exactly. So can you, Jamila, explain what the hell happened? Like, I know this is really hard, but in layman's terms for us basics here.
So the issues around climate policy have dogged this country for the last 10 years.
Right.
Basically, we can't agree what to do about climate change. There's a whole lot of disagreement, and that's now brought down a whole bunch of prime ministers. So we had Malcolm Turnbull, who you'll remember was a prime minister who came to the job very firmly committed to action on climate change. He previously resigned the leadership of his party, saying, I'm not going to lead a party that isn't serious about doing something about the fact that the planet is heating up and we're all going to be underwater in 100 years.
Yeah.
Fair enough. However, he then was leading a party that just wasn't committed in the same way as him. And that created a lot of tension, and it really hamstrung him. He couldn't get a lot done the last few years. So that all came to a head when he announced this national energy guarantee.
Right.
And the other sort of moving parts in his party went, you know what, I think it's time to get rid of him. And he tried to call their bluff.
Yeah.
So do you remember when we had that first leadership vote early in the week?
Yes, yes.
And we thought it was all put to bed?
Yeah.
That was Turnbull trying to call those forces bluff and go, nah, I don't think you've got enough people to vote me out. Bring it on.
Oh.
But then he won that vote so narrowly, it ended up giving sort of more fuel to the fire. So that meant that the week moved very, very quickly, and suddenly you had all these candidates emerge.
It just seems out of control, if you know what I mean. It feels so unstable. Can you tell me, and again, this is ignorance, who the hell is Scott Morrison? And we should be afraid of him, happy for him? Like, how should we feel about this guy?
Well, I think that's up to every individual to make up their mind. For my part, I'm not exactly a fan. There's a lot of relief for me that it's not Peter Dutton, who, look, I think the cartoons comparing him to Voldemort were probably pretty on the money from my personal perspective. So there's a lot of relief on my part, but I don't know how much better Scott Morrison is going to be. What I can tell you is I think this means that an election probably won't happen this year, because he'll need a little bit of time to introduce himself to the country. Mm. Because just like you, most people don't know who he is and don't know a whole lot about him.
Nah.
It's interesting that this whole thing sort of cycles around climate change as well, because I've seen Scott Morrison and I've seen Peter Dutton, both very weathered, aged faces. So it'd be in their best interest to keep the sun burning at minimal temperatures throughout this whole thing.
Well, Scott Morrison very famously brought a piece of coal into the parliament a couple of years ago and talked about just how wonderful it was. So I think we've got a bit of an idea about where he's going to fall when it comes to climate change action.
Oh, God. I wish I could just have you on speed dial, Jamila, and just call you and be like, hey, what's going on politics? Can you please explain it to me? Because it's so confusing. But thank you so much for your time this morning. We so appreciate it. Mm. And Future Women is really exciting, so people should definitely get around it. Thank you so much, girl.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. Talk to you next time we've got a new Prime Minister.
Oh, yes. So next week. Bye, girl.
Are we going to get out of here as well? We will be back tomorrow.
Exactly. I'm excited about tomorrow as well, because I did something so embarrassing at a Townsville airport, and it takes a lot to embarrass me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you had an embarrassing moment also this week.
Yeah, full of embarrassing moments. They'll all be rehashed tomorrow with plenty more.
Trauma next.
This is Weekend Breakfast.